Weekly jobless claims down a touch, even as the pandemic continues. From Marketplace in Austin, Texas, I'm Andy Euler in for David Mercaccio. We just got word from the Labor Department that jobless claims dropped by 8,000 to 198,000 last week, despite a surge in COVID. That's encouraging, but the labor market in these times is just different. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Grant Thornton. She's here to give us some context. Diane, good morning.
Good morning.
What do we sort of think, I guess, in the short-term future about the job market more generally?
Even as restaurants and bars are closing and theaters are closing in response to the current surge in COVID cases and Omicron, what we're seeing is employers are more willing to hold on to their workers because they hope to reopen again and they've gotten used to this sort of moving in, you know, fits and starts. That's a very different place than we were in March of 2020.
One of the things that I know a lot of folks are worried about, too, is inflation inequality, right? The sort of basket that people spend their money on. Poor families spend their money on things that are getting more expensive. Is that a concern?
Absolutely. Even as some of the surge pricing we see abates as we go into 2022 and get into the second half of the year, you're going to see the things that are still very important to people like rents and shelter continue to accelerate. And that's really, you know, the basics of food and shelter are what those lowest wage workers have to worry the most about, maximizing their incomes just by a weekly basis. And I think that often gets lost in translation. It creates a vicious cycle instead of a virtuous cycle of wage gains. And that's something that we have to worry about as we get into 2022.
Diane Swonk is chief economist of the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Diane, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A new law takes effect in California on January 1st that could change how companies like Amazon use data to manage warehouse workers. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more on what this means for the workplace.
Companies like Amazon often use algorithms and tracking data to set productivity quotas, says Ellen Reese, a professor at the University of California, Riverside, who co-edited a book about Amazon.
Many warehouse workers felt like they couldn't work both efficiently and safely. You know, like they can't use the bathroom when they need to.
In a statement to Marketplace, Amazon said it does not use quotas, adding that, quote, we do not require employees to meet specific productivity speeds or targets. The new California law will require more transparency from big warehouse operators about how they use technology to track productivity so that it doesn't interfere with things like mandated breaks or safety. Professor Lindsay Cameron studies the future of work at the Wharton School.
There's so much opaqueness around algorithms. And as a worker, you don't have a lot of insight into all of that.
She says other government entities are also looking at how to regulate these emerging technologies at work. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
As we head into the new year amid yet another COVID surge, Marketplace's Mariel Seguera has more on just how healthy the U.S. job market is.
Despite the pandemic, the economy is still growing. Mark Hamrick is senior economic analyst for Bankrate.com.
With growth that is above the long-term trend in the United States, that means that the job market has to continue to improve.
The question is, will people want all these jobs? Already, there are a lot of job openings, and people who are looking for work can often take their pick or negotiate for what they want. Andy Challenger is SVP at Challenger, Gray & Christmas.
Right now, wages are rising very quickly. Benefits are increasing.
He says this will probably continue for a while.
It's still going to be hard to hire. It's still going to be an employee's market in 2022, but it will slowly go away.
That does depend in part on COVID, because as long as schools are closing on and off, parents will have childcare issues and may not be able to rejoin the workforce. And other people just won't be ready to go back if it doesn't feel safe. I'm Mariel Seguera for Marketplace.
We've seen a lot of high-profile organizing efforts from workers this year. Union votes at an Amazon warehouse in Alabama, strikes at companies like John Deere and Kellogg's, and a lockout between owners and players in Major League Baseball. You can add to the list another group, flight attendants, who are bargaining with airlines for workplace protections and more safety measures. Sarah Nelson is international president of the Association of Flight Attendants. She represents nearly 50,000 flight attendants across 17 airlines. Ms. Nelson, good morning.
Good morning.
So this past year, we've seen several high-profile labor organization movements. So I'm thinking Amazon, and then we had strikes at John Deere and places like that. Has this momentum created changes within your group, within the AFA?
So, yes, I mean, listen, it's in the water everywhere. Workers are sick and tired of having to work more than one job to survive, not being able to have proper health care, not being able to have a secure retirement, and frankly, being saddled with things like student loan debt as well. And so everyone is really understanding on the other side of this pandemic that workers were also treated as disposable. And they're understanding that it doesn't matter what industry you're in, we're all facing the same sort of issues. You know, I used to think that I'm just not working hard enough, but now I hear the stories of all these other people. And so I'm not going to allow that poverty shaming to keep me down. And that kind of commonality in demands from the working class and understanding that we can only make it better if we all stand together, and these next generations understanding that there was no golden path laid out for them, they're going to have to figure out how to make this work. And that has created some cohesive collective action as well.
I'm curious, too, are there things that we passengers, we folks who get on planes, don't recognize about y'all's job, sort of don't recognize about things that you're either asking Congress for or just negotiating in those negotiations with carriers, with sort of other entities that you guys need, that you're just not sort of hearing or getting what you need?
Well, first and foremost, before the pandemic, I think it's really important for passengers to know that we're their greatest advocates because their travel space is our workspace. So clean air, stopping the spraying of pesticides, having FDA approval over the food that's served on board and EPA oversight with the water. These are all things that our union has fought for. We fought to get smoking off the planes. In terms of right now, the vast majority of people who come to the door of our airplane just want a safe, uneventful flight. And so, you know, look to the flight attendants, look to the pilots, because we are your greatest advocates, and we're going to make sure that conditions are such that we're all going to reach our destination safely.
Sarah Nelson is International President of the Association of Flight Attendants. Sarah, thank you so much again for doing this.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate your work on this.
Man, uneventful sounds so delightful right now. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.